We'll do something before we start, which is true or false. You tell me, true or false. Are you ready? You may need to spend years knowing someone in order to commit to that person. True or false? May need to?
May need to.
True. May need to. True.
Elaborate.
You may need.
What do you think? I think.
You think.
Very false. If you do it right, you ask the right questions, and you're serious, you do not need to ask a long time, and you don't need to take a long time to find out if that person's for you or not. Depends on the type of questions you're asking and how you're dating. Okay. Good, good. By the way, I want to say this, and I mentioned this to Mikey also and a few other people. I am not speaking here from a position of like, I'm better than you and I know everything and I've got it all figured out. It really is not like that. I'm trying to stand up for the values. I'm very into Torah, in case you can't tell. So I'm trying to stick up for those values. And Jewish values is all about Ya'azov ish et aviv ve'imo, leaving your parents' home, building your own home. So my whole focus is that if society is never going to be about dating towards marriage, then it's just going to crumble. It's going to destroy itself. Everyone's going to hurt each other.
Drink.
And then
for your tea with
everyone's going to hurt themselves somebody. And get angry and be upset because it's not moving in the right direction. Okay, so we spoke about a few reasons how you can know last week how you can know if someone is not taking you seriously. But how do you know if you are not taking yourself seriously? That's what we're going to speak about this week. Okay. A cycle of emotional breakups is the pathway to marriage. Is it really false, or is that false but it never really happens? And most people actually have to go through a cycle of hard, difficult breakups in order to find their one. What normally happens? But is that a must? Do you think that's what God wants from us?
No, she tell me.
Do you think that's what life is meant to be? If it happens, then it should happen.
Tell me, I told people.
Or maybe there's a way that we can avoid all of the breakups and the emotions.
I need to go to mom, I need to go
in order to get the right person. Okay? Here's another question. So the answer is a cycle of emotional breakups is a path to marriage. That is false. It's false. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. But the emotional breakups is dependent on how seriously you take a relationship right from the beginning emotionally. If you take a relationship, you go out with someone and you allow the emotions to get too quickly into it, you get physical too quickly. You shouldn't at all until you get married, but never mind. You get too into it too quickly, then I believe it will cost emotional breakup after. That will be the pain that comes later on. Because, like we've said many times, that when you are in a relationship and you allow the physicality to cloud you, you're not thinking straight. One of the most difficult things about dating is that you get into someone, and what happens? Emotions go high or stay low? They go super high. Intellect gets pushed aside. It says, Ahava mekalkelet et hashura, which means if you're going on a certain path, love could take you off that path. It could just like completely make you go crazy. So if you're going to What does that mean? If you're going to allow the emotions to get to you, which is normally what happens, now you're going to have the most difficult time to make a decision. Who can make a decision when they're emotionally charged?
Nobody.
Right? What's this week? Shoppers. It reminds me. This week, I was coming out of Smart and Final, and a homeless guy is just like standing in front of my car. So I'm not gonna honk because I never know how this is gonna end. So I'm just gonna stand like a good boy on the side and look down. No eye contact rule, by the way. No eye contact. You know this rule, right? Never. The minute you have eye contact, you're taken. That's it. He's got you. So no eye contact. I'm joking, okay, by the way. Okay, no eye contact, and that's how I work. No eye contact, and then this guy is just standing there, and he's looking at my car, and I'm just like, should I reverse? I can't, there's someone behind me. Should I get out the car? No, I can't. So then suddenly he moves slowly away, and the minute I go past him, that's when he starts chasing after my car. For a second, my heart starts, I'm like, oh no, what's going on? And then I'm just like, oh, just speed off. And that's what I did. So thank goodness I wasn't a fool to get out of my car. I was like, come on, you want a mess? So I didn't do that. I at least had some brains left. But I'm saying if I would start thinking emotionally, that would destroy everything. Like, I'll do the worst things that I could ever imagine. Maybe get out of the car, get in a fight with a guy for no reason. I felt like I lost myself for those few seconds that I saw the guy chasing my car and was about to hit it. Because all of a sudden, my heart was pumping. I was getting driven, and my mind suddenly was getting shut. And I was just being controlled by this fear for a few seconds. That's what I think. It was a few seconds that I was nervous. I was nervous for a few seconds. No seconds, I couldn't think. But I got news for you. When someone's allowing himself to get emotionally charged with someone, that's way stronger than a homeless guy chasing your car. Trust me. Right? When you're in a relationship and you allow the emotions to get in and there's love and there's... Is that comparable to the homeless guy? Depends who you're dating. But, you know, the emotions are very different. That's real emotions. So when you're high on emotions, you can't make good decisions. And for that reason, we believe that it's a big problem when I allow my emotions to get too into the relationship and then try and make decisions with that relationship. Very, very problematic. Because then I can't make the right decisions. Oh, is he okay? Should I go out?
No, okay. You continue. I'll go soon.
Okay, so that's the next thing. Should we start with the next? Okay, let's just go this. Yeah, let's just do this quickly. Every relationship is a lesson learned for the future.
True.
Even if it's a wrong relationship.
Especially, yeah.
Every experience is a lesson for the future. So I'm not saying that if somebody dated wrong or didn't date in the way that we believe should be the way they date, they should look back and say, oh, let's just ignore that and continue with life. There's nothing to learn. Of course, every situation, every date, and every way that you dated, if it was 6 months, 7 months, or 10 years, should always be a lesson for the future. Okay? By the way, just with this point, finally say, last week I was saying 6 months is already enough time to know if someone's, have enough clarity to know enough information about the person in front of you. I know that some people think that's crazy, but 6 months in the religious community, less. But 6 months, I would say, in the non-religious community, you need 6 months. But 6 months can give you enough time to give you clarity. Some people say that's crazy. So I ask them this question. So then how many years do you think is normal? 10 years? 12, 13, 14, at what point do you think it is okay? Because if a year isn't enough, who says 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 will be? 10, 12, 13. That is a question we need to ask ourselves. If you think that there isn't a time limit, then you tell me 20 years? There's got to be a point in everybody's mind that this has to end or move on to the next stage. And you tell me. Because if that's true, then I want to tell you that maybe it can be even earlier. And that's because you're dating with the right intention, you're dating with the right mindset, and so on and so forth. But if someone dates wrong, that doesn't mean you can't learn from the past. Okay.
Another question.
Yes.
Like, I feel that every relationship moves at a different pace. And I don't think that time is the best way of tracking how far down a relationship you're going through. And my question is, what time in the relationship, like, how to progress that you know that it is time to commit? Like, it's not necessarily after 6 months. Does it make sense?
Well, every relationship takes different amounts of time. But as an overarching idea, that's right. We're not. It's not a relationship. It's a date. It's someone I'm going out with. It's not a marriage. The problem that this question.
Is it going straight from dating to marriage? Is there no like relationship in between?
There shouldn't be. There should be some form of relationship, respect, communication. But this whole thing of announcing we are boyfriend, girlfriend, we are now in a relationship is the most damaging thing you could do to yourself. I'll tell you why. Because then you have a public pressure to make your decision, and they're going to cloud your decisions. They are going to actually destroy your decisions, your parents and this. But we're boyfriend, girlfriend, so we have to continue. It's only going to cloud your decision. Because remember, the goal isn't to be a boyfriend, girlfriend. The goal is to eventually get to marriage. We're past the age of 16, 18. I'm talking about the 35-year-old guy. Okay, treat your life like a 35-year-old. Don't treat your life in that way, right? Treat your life like a 40-year-old that's dating. Don't treat your life like I have 1,000 years from now and I have all the time in the world. The 40-year-old dates in a very serious fashion. That's how we should all be dating.
So if you take a boyfriend...
Life is serious. Judaism is serious about life. That's what I'm saying, yes.
If you take the boyfriend, girlfriend, just that metaphor out of the equation, there's a difference going out on a first date, a third date, a 10th date, or a 50th date. And there's an evolution in the commitment of the relationship. No matter if you call yourself boyfriend, girlfriend, or there is any social pressure, or there isn't.
And there's an evolution of problems also that comes out from that relationship also, which is there's expectations. Why are you not seeing me? Why are you not talking to me? There's an evolution of problems that come out which don't need to happen because both sides, and this is another whole discussion, but both sides, we're going back into like living together, both sides are not 100% in at that point because we're only a boyfriend-girlfriend. If you ask them, oh, so this is getting serious. No, not yet. Right? So the fact is that they're not fully 100% in there for each other. Even if they say they are, but they're not because I still have my family, I have my career, I'm not always with you, we're not fully committed to each other. And even if you say you are, when you do and you move in and you say you are, you still have the times when it's not working out, we're not fully committed to each other. I have a vacation to go to Mexico with my family, I have to go, and I have this to go, and I have that to go. We are not 100% committed to each other, so we've not even given ourselves the fullest chance. And that can cause a lot more problems that can evolve as opposed to good that can evolve from that. And there's much more to speak about. There's like 1,000. For each topic, I have 101 reasons why that shouldn't happen. But especially boyfriend-girlfriend is toxic. Toxic.
It's a comfort zone.
It's a comfort zone. And then it's also toxic because people look at you in that way. And then you have a people's pressure, yourself pressure, you're not moving any further because you're already happy with the way it is, you're able to keep distance, right? Now distance, by the way, can be healthy, but this type
it
of
is
distance
healthy,
is escapism. I need you for when I need you, and then a lot of times I want to escape that kind of relationship, I need my own freedom, so I'm not fully into you. That's really the statement. Yes.
100%
total. You're not 100% in because you didn't get married. Yeah.
That can only happen in marriage.
Different, obviously, if you're like dating in the religious world versus less religious world.
I'm talking about a non-religious 40-year-old girl.
Yeah, but
how would she date?
In the non-religious world, you might be dating multiple people at the same time. And so that label of boyfriend-girlfriend is kind of a way to say I'm not dating anyone else. Whereas I just know if you're religious.
But there's also a way to say, like, we're exclusive.
Yeah.
Fine, that's okay. I mean, people have to get to that point.
Right.
Obviously, after two, three dates,
right.
You have to not even announce to the world, but between you two, you're not seeing anyone else, I'm not seeing anyone else, and we are exclusive. Whatever you want to say, boyfriend, girlfriend, however you want to call it, we are exclusive. Now, this stage should take a certain amount of time, not more than 6 months, to figure out, are we committed to each other or not? Because you're not married and you're dating and it's like a whole...
Maybe boyfriend-girlfriend should have a boyfriend-girlfriend ring so that people would see that and they'll say,
That's scary for people, you see? Like, people won't do that. So they won't even get to the point of boyfriend-girlfriend with a ring. Because that's scary. They don't want to commit. Is there a thing like that?
But they do engagement, which is, engagement already is, to me, a good sign.
It's already a commitment, but not like in 2 years to get married. That's already
different. But that's a problem. Engagement period is toxic. So that shouldn't be long at all. But that's,
yeah, we'll talk about that. That's a whole different time for engagement.
Because you're not really together, but then there's expectations. Expectations in anything is unhealthy. When you have an expectation from your parents, unhealthy, the relationship. You have expectation from your spouse, unhealthy. Any relationship that has expectations in it, unhealthy. There has to be a certain level, you know, reciprocal. I'm giving, so like there has to be something coming back. There has to be
something. It's both ways, but it's not
two ways. But you can't live off expectations. It's a toxic environment. Yes.
So somewhere along the line, you and the person you're dating will meet each other's friends and families. And won't that cause like external pressure? Should we not be meeting families and friends?
Well, you shouldn't do that straight away. You should definitely wait a little bit.
Wait till you're really like, you know, the way we could see it with people that we've worked with in the past, people normally would be, you know, we would recommend you involve other people in this when you've already kind of decided that this is, when I say decided, I didn't say like you decided to get married tomorrow, but you really know that you're committing to that person and you're investing in that person and the goal is marriage. Then obviously, I mean, family comes in, friends, but not too long after, not 2 years later, that's when you commit to each other. That's when it goes like.
I would say it also depends ways. On the relationship with your parents. There are parents that can be very supportive of you. There's some people that really have good communication with their parents. And if that is the case, then, you know, that is important. That's actually important that they meet and they support you and they say, oh.
Yeah, in some cases it could work if they meet early on, but some cases it's probably better if they don't until a decision has been made and then, you know, like introducing that person to the parents, to the family.
But it's a good question because the goal should always be, whatever move I'm making, will this make me closer to finding out if this is for me or not? If this will make it more difficult for me, then I should never introduce my date to that person, whether it's my parents, my friend, or anything else. Will this get me closer to the point of clarity? Dating is for clarity. Will it get me closer? Then let me show that person to whoever's going to help me get closer. But it really does depend also on your parents, you know? But for an overall theme, it's not really a good idea straight from day one. It's like, you know, oh, let me see your parents, you know, and they come. I think that also in the culture that we're in, it's not really.
We've seen, like, you know, people that I speak to, they could be joining like family holidays.
You open the door at the back. Is anyone else?
They could be joining different like family things, traveling together, and it creates a lot more commitment before you even know that you want to commit to that person. I think it's too much. It's like, why would you get all into it? Figure it out first, and then once you do decide. There's nothing greater than including that person as part of your family and introducing them to everyone. It's just a different way of looking at it, you know? Different order.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Yeah, at what point do you think then is like you're ready to think of that person like, okay, we're committing? Because sometimes you could just go very naively and just like on the first 2 dates, like you want to jump right at it. But then there might be some times where you're like, hold on, I need to like linger on it. Like, you know, like, sometimes you have to be, like, confident, like, you know that you're, okay, let's commit. You know, like, at what point would you say a person would be...
Well, that's why we date, till we find out,
by 6 months.
So we give that, like, 6 months period, so you can look at it as, oh, I started dating someone now. And you can even communicate it with them. You know, I'm looking for something serious. Now, I've heard all that, you know, if I say I'm looking for something serious, or I mention maybe second, third date, marriage, and people run away from me, they're not the right people for you then. Absolutely not. I've heard it from therapists. I've heard it from a lot of people in the field. Sometimes we want to be naive because it's sometimes someone that we want, but they're not really on the same radar as we are. And their goals are not the same as we have. So it's very, very important to match expectations from beginning and not to put like a timeline and say, within 6 months, we have to get engaged. Right. But you watch the time. You make sure you date intentionally. You invest in the time that you're dating them. Dating is not only like going to other parties with them. That's not called dating. Dating is spending time with them, taking them out, you know, in different capacities, different times of the day, whatever you decide to do, so you really get to know the person. And then within, you'll see, 3, 4, 5 months, you start getting the sense of the person. There's no way you won't. Yeah. Okay.
Go for
Ready?
It.
We'll do. Okay, want to talk about the 5 keys. We said we have the 5 things that would, signs, that will show you that you may be investing in the wrong person, in the wrong relationship. Okay, and there's 5 very important characteristics that could happen to anyone. It's not a label or anything that I would put on anyone. I feel like to some degree everyone has it. It's just very important to
identify
it. Very important to learn about it. So maybe when you get to a situation, you're like, maybe I'm being this, maybe I'm being that, and I'm trying to do something I shouldn't be doing to make something work, which wouldn't work in some cases. So we'll start with the first one, which is, we call it the shaper. Now, do you believe that people change?
Yes.
People change. Now, can you change someone?
Yeah.
Who said yeah?
Eitan.
Okay, Eitan.
Anything's possible.
Right, but...
Not your date. I think that's even more difficult.
It's proven that you cannot change anyone. And if you think you can, that might work for a little while, but at the point where they don't like you or they go mad with you, they're not going to do what you want them to do. It has to be genuine. What were you saying?
You can't change them. You can change their mindset.
So I would call it, you can inspire them, you can impact them by them seeing you, but you can't change someone. At the end of the day, in order to change someone, they have to decide to want to change themselves. Otherwise, it could probably fire back to you at some point, whether it's a month from now, 2 months from now, when you're married. You made me do that. And when they're mad at you, I don't want to do this anymore.
It's like a guy that goes out with a non-Jewish girl, and he's like, I'm going to get that girl to convert. She's amazing, beautiful, wow.
We've heard that too.
So that's there's a lot of problems with that because it will come back to you and you made me convert for you, you know, and it might not happen.
Or when they're married already, she says, and we know cases that she's like, actually, I'm not interested in this. When you identify something you don't like in someone and it may be a deal breaker for you and you're trying to change that and say, I'm going to shape them, I'm going to make them do this and that, and through me they'll be able to do that, and you build that whole beautiful picture in your head that that's what's going to be, a lot of the times it wouldn't work. It's just very risky to invest. And what we could see after a year, 2 years, it's like, I've wasted a year, 2 years of my life with this person. I was hoping that this is what they're going to do. I have a few, I'll give you a few examples. For example, location. A guy met a girl, he's telling her very early on, like, now I'm in LA, but my dad has a business and I will be going back to the East Coast at some point for business. I would work for my family. There's no other plan. And she's thinking in her head, I'm going to change that. I really like him. I'm not willing to relocate. I have a job here, whatever I'm doing. And it's going to work out. We just continue dating. So thinking that it will work out or she will change his mind. But a year down the line, a year and a half down the line, he's still planning on going back, and he is going back. And that's where there's a big thing going on. Like, you're not committing. Like, what's going on? You're just leaving? But this is something I've said from the very beginning. Sometimes we choose not to look at certain things. Now, for some people, it might not be a problem. It's the shaper has also the avoider as well, in this case,
right,
at least. But we'll mention that too. The idea is that I'm trying to change that person. The same with religious level, addictions. I want that person to... It's a deal breaker for me if they gamble. But they do. So what do you do with it? I'm going to sign them up for this and that, and they're going to do programs to... No, that's not how things work. They have to want to do it, and it's not enough to want. They have to make actions. Once you see the actions, you see they've done it, then you can trust that it's really going to stick, that it's really going to happen.
Can I just add, like, yes, if please. Let's say, and this has happened a lot of times,
yeah.
Someone comes to us, and he's been involved with us for 2 years already. So he loves Shabbat, he already knows like all the blessings and like all the stuff. His religious level is much higher. And then he brings a new girl, and he's like, Rabbi, meet my new girlfriend. Her name is Casey, and you should say hi. And she goes, ah. And then I'm like, no, I'm like, you should meet you. I'm just joking. So, right, meet Casey, and then whatever. And and I'm welcome, so nice to see you. And then he sits next to her, and he has this deep urge to get her to also be involved. So he's like, and it's so obvious to me. I'm sitting there, I'm watching, and obviously I'm not judging. And he's like opening the book next to her, and he's like, yeah, you've got to read these words, unbelievable. And he's like pushing it down her throat. That's not how it works. You know, he's opening the book, this is. And she's like pressured. She's like, doesn't know what's coming, what's going on, what they want from her. Like, let it come naturally. That's what we're saying. You can't shape a person if you're dating them. If you want that person to be more inspired, bring them to Eish Lit and let them be themselves in their own path, in their own way.
And you have to be okay with that. So if it's a deal breaker, like a religious level, which a lot of times it is, depending on where they're at on the spectrum of religiosity, then you just have to understand, oh, this is a deal breaker for you. You identify that and decide, I'm cutting this or I'm willing. Because really the point of this is to know that I'm not going to change the person. I can inspire them. I can connect them, can bring them to Eish Lit, whatever it is, but I can't change them. So am I willing to accept this challenge or this thing that I don't like about them the way it is? If they change, it's a nice bonus. But if they don't, I have to be willing to accept
the reason,
that this is
the
what
reason
it is,
why
or
we
cut
think
it.
This is toxic is because you might end up dating
just
the
investing
person
too long in something
3 years, 4 years because you're trying to shape them.
Yes.
And you can be dating for years on end with this mindset that I can change this person. And you can't. And you never know if you will be able to. And it can be frustrating. At some point you can get angry. Why am I trying and trying and trying and it's not working? And then it comes out eventually. You know, I've worked so hard on this relationship. What do you mean you worked hard? I don't know what you want
and
from
the other
me.
Side doesn't even, like, what? I don't understand what you're saying. You know, what are you trying to do? So that really happens. I would like to hear from you. How do you think we can avoid being the shaper? And I feel like the shaper is something that anyone could be, subconsciously as well. We see something we don't like, we say, it's going to change. We're going to change it. How can we avoid that?
By looking to begin with for somebody that's like money.
Right.
Whether on a religious level, they live.
And we're talking about deal breakers. Again, we're not talking about things like, I don't like the way they are, I don't know, like they walk, the way they dress, the way they talk to people. I don't know. If it's a real deal breaker, that's when you really need to think. If you're willing to put up with it, then it's not a problem. It's not the shaper. Okay, so you said, Daniel, what did you say? Repeat it again.
Look
for the real.
For
right.
Who's not trying to find someone who you need to shape. Essentially.
Yes.
Right.
Getting the right size.
Amen. Yeah. I'm meant to that.
You think? Yeah.
Yeah,
I think we need to be honest with ourselves about what our deal breakers are.
100%.
Someone early on, you're really into them, you get emotional.
Right.
And something that you know is a deal breaker, like inside, deep inside, you know it's a deal breaker, but you just kind of don't. You kind of ignore it.
Right, we're going to get to that. That's another character. Yes.
And it's hard. It's also been painful to cut something off. So that's another reason.
Right. 100%. That's why we actually mentioned even I think it was the first session, that it's very, very important before you put yourself out there, before you're really looking for someone, sit down with yourself first, figure out who you are and what you need and what you want. What are your deal breakers? What are nice to have? Then every time when you meet someone, you can really try to identify where they're at on my list. Am I having any deal breakers, red flags that it's going to be a problem later on? So let's identify them now. Don't invest in something. Because once you're clear with your head, you can avoid tons of things. You can meet someone 1, 2, 3, 4 times, decide it's not for me, next. I'm moving to the next person, you know? So when you identify your deal breakers, I'm totally with you, making things clear. And in order to identify your deal breaker, no problem. That needs sometimes help from someone else. You can reach out, talk to someone that you trust, really open up, figure out what are these things in life that you care about, values, whatever that is, and you put it on your list.
Anyone else? How to avoid being a shaper?
Mama.
Like going off of that, if you meet someone and you like feel a really strong connection, but you realize there is like a deal breaker, like being able to like communicate that to them to see what they have to say, because maybe it's something that they're like, maybe it's someone that's like, oh yeah, like maybe I would be open to not moving, but if you don't like ask them.
Right. Oh, 100%, right, exactly.
Ask the hard questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good, ask the hard questions.
Yeah, not ignore them, not leave them to, there was another example I
no
think
big
of.
Assumptions only, just
something. Oh yeah, no assumptions. When it comes to dating, don't assume, always. Hear it from the other side. I know that in the first session, one of the guys said he's asking for a friend that was was dating this girl, and after a year and a half, they're ready to get married, and she said, or he said, one of them said, I don't want kids. And that's where it was like, I don't know what to do, because one side really wants kids. And I'm like, that's not something you wait a year and a half to figure out.
But that's also the avoider. We'll speak about the avoider.
Yeah, we will
later
get
on,
to it also.
Which is another type of personality.
Could be that they've said that in the past, but they just ignored it. The other side did ignore. They don't mean it.
Sometimes they're scared to express their true opinion or to ask the hard questions because they're too scared to do some things that make them lose their relationship. Sometimes they think like, oh, I'm not going to find any alternative to that.
That's the cynic.
They're too scared to lose the opportunity.
So we'll talk about, there's another type of personality
that
we're
talking about.
Yeah, it's
one of the five.
It's one of the five.
We'll hopefully
we're
get
talking
to
about
it today.
But just one last thing.
Yes.
I think that something we missed out is the reason why you want to shape or change someone is because you're not sure with yourself if that value is really important. And what I mean is, if something is really important to you, you will never date the person, no matter how attractive they are. If it's 100% important to you, you'll never date them. Even if you say, I could shape them. For me, it's so clear that I'm very strong with my Judaism, I will never even date a non-Jew. So I will never get into a situation where I have to shape someone because I'm very strong with my values. So the answer really to not being a shaper is to strengthen your own personal value system. Who am I? What is important to me?
Yeah.
Why am I doing this Shabbat anyway? Just because I'm born into it and that's why I want a girl this Shabbat? Or I don't care. It's the people that are in between. I want Shabbat, but I don't want a religious girl and I don't want a non-religious girl. I want it. So because I'm so unsure with myself and I'm always looking at both sides, that's why I say in either position I put myself, I'm going to shape that person into the exact way I am. So the problem really stems from lacking clarity within myself.
Yeah.
And that's why we said dating is a lot to do with self-growth.
Yeah.
Becoming a more clear person within myself. That is the place of dating. So I think that you're trying to shape someone because you don't know whether this is important or not. I think that's a very important point. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you wanted to say
that. Like, it's kind of tricky when like the thing that you're wanting to shape is like maybe it's like a big insecurity of yours, and like
yes,
you maybe you're like, oh, this is something I need to work on, so therefore I should date this person because it's something I should work on. They're this way.
It's a reflection sometimes of your own insecurities and problems.
So and sometimes people look
so
for that. Yeah, they do.
To know whether or not like you should date that person then, because you're like, maybe I need to try dating someone like this because I need to grow from that, or what, you know what I mean?
You're right, but you can't. And like we said, no, but you can't.
No, we get what
we said is, like in the past, you can't grow on the expense of another person.
Of someone else.
So that's why it's very important to have more clarity of what do I really want? Why do I like Shabbat so much that if a girl that's not really doing Shabbat bothers me? But I don't care about Shabbat that much, but I do. So why does it bother me? So then why am I in between two worlds? Why am I bothered but then not bothered? Why am I... Do you get what I'm saying? There's people that are somewhat into some things and then not, And they're bothered, right, but then they don't know why.
Or they want someone better than them in that area that they're lacking.
But if you're insecure, like maybe you should lean into the discomfort of that thing. Like that's where I get.
Right, but then you're getting clarity on the expense of that person, and that's not good. That's yeah, what. Then it's not dating.
You get clarity in life, and sometimes it's through experiences, and it's like.
That's not the only way, though.
Sure.
It is one way. It definitely is a way.
Yeah.
And not so it's not it the definitely only is way a way. Then, yeah. But also, through that experience, you should ask yourself, okay, for the next time, what do I really want? Why am I bothered if the girl is not doing Shabbat? Why am I bothered if the guy is not doing Shabbat if I don't really do Shabbat myself anyway? I'm not really doing it, so why am I even bothered by it?
Yeah.
Why is it so important to me? Ask myself. Let's get deeper into my core, my value system. Why is this important to me? For the next date, yeah.
Because you see the greatness of it, and you keep being true. Surprised how come the other side doesn't appreciate it. Maybe we're not in the same way.
A lot of times we have things that we take for granted, right? There's a lot of Israelis that come to America, and they were used to Hanukkah everywhere, Jews everywhere. You know, like Judaism is like everything. Suddenly you come to a place where it's not really like that, and then you start appreciating what you didn't. You took for granted.
Because you're the majority over here. And you're right. Part of the community.
So then suddenly there's a lot of Israelis that feel like, wow, I'm doing
more
Shabbat.
They feel more Jewish in America than they would feel. Absolutely. They would feel, we see it all over again every time. You know, someone in Israel could be totally anti-Judaism because like they're not. And they come to America over time, they
feel more
start
connected.
To feel more connected than they want it.
That's what my friends think. You came to America to become a Jew.
But what's the reason? Yeah. What's the core of it? It's because you get used to things, you don't realize what you've got until you don't have it.
Yeah, it's always like that in life. Unfortunately, we start appreciating things when we don't have it.
Yeah. So when you date someone who's, let's say, completely disconnected, and you had some, you know, you grew up with a little connection, and now you realize, oh my gosh, is that what
you realize the gap?
I'm not gonna have. This is what I'm not gonna have. That's scary. And then you start thinking.
Let's do the avoid. We're running out of time.
Okay, so. We don't have time, and we want to finish this so that next week we don't talk about this again. Okay, just
the avoider. You can do
okay,
it.
Okay, so the avoider is someone who doesn't like confliction, or we'd say what's the word for it?
Confrontation. What's your name?
Shirin.
Shiri.
Oh, beautiful.
No, no N. I'm not Persian.
Yeah, no, I said Shiri. Yeah, Shiri.
Okay. I call Shira that sometimes when I'm excited.
Well, my name is Shira, so my nickname used to be Shiri. Yeah.
Anyway, it's a beautiful name. Thank you for coming. So here's a point.
The avoider. Okay.
You avoid confrontation. What does that mean? That means that there are serious issues and you don't want to talk about them.
Let's just don't want to bring it up.
The person has lots of depression and you know something's going on and they're on medication but you're not sure what type and how. And you have the right, if this is someone you're going to marry, to know. And you avoid that conversation and you keep it going for how many years? That's called the avoider. It can, because I don't want to have that conversation, I'll end up dating the wrong person for me just because I don't want confidence. I'm too nice to ask questions that are important. So what is wrong with an avoider? How can you stop being an avoider? How can you get into confrontation in the right, healthy way? How do we fix the avoider?
Ask the right question.
Okay, but like that's just like easy said. I have a problem. I hate confrontation. So how do I build muscle to increase my confrontation? Get into a fight with a homeless guy?
Yeah.
What?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wrote down building your confrontation muscle, meaning that type of personality, the avoider, a person that doesn't know how to ask big questions and therefore is dating the same person for too long, I think that they have problems outside of the dating also.
Yeah.
This is a serious issue. So that actually translates to how it is in work.
The people pleasers.
And you're a people pleaser, exactly. And in work itself, you might find that difficulty. I don't know how to communicate with my boss who's paying me too little and I can't manage with this pay. I need more money. he told me he'll give me a cut, but then he's not paying me also a wage, and he didn't, and I'm working so hard. There's a lack of, there's a confrontation issue across the board, not only in dating. So like we said, one way is to build a confrontation muscle, which is to train yourself to be able to stand up and even for small things and talk or speak out moments where you're uncomfortable, come out of your comfort zone outside of dating. Strengthen that muscle outside of dating.
In so front of the mirror, it could be just with yourself. But it's something that has to be practiced over and over again, because a lot of the problems, by the way, as you notice, sometimes a lot of our characters come out, especially when we're in a relationship. So it becomes even worse. So we got to work on that.
Do you also?
Yeah.
I think you just need to go ahead and do it. It's something you're going to fail. And it's just like some men are saying, hey, I'm too shy to go out and talk to girls. Some people try to become salesmen and they say, hey, I'm not confident enough to go and try to put on a deal with a customer. Or, for example, things like that. And sometimes it's just like riding a bicycle. You have to do it, fall down, get injured a little bit, and keep doing it again and again.
Until you strengthen that muscle.
Do that correctly.
That's right.
Okay, exactly. So I think that we're going to speak about dating personalities and soul types. We've spoken about this on our trips. But there is a soul type called a bracha personality, which is very like, welcome, come in.
Life is good.
Life is good. I love you. You're amazing. And those people have it the hardest.
Because they only see the blessings, which is a good thing, but it's also extreme.
It's a very chesed type personality. They have it the hardest to work on this sense of gevura, of confrontation. And it's something that must be worked on outside of dating also. Okay, I'm going to add the fourth, which is someone that's waiting for the perfect moment. We call it the defaulter. And they end up dating for many years because I'm waiting first to get the right money and the right job. And the right place, and the right situation. My dad is currently sick, so I'm waiting for him to get better. Or this is happening and it's not going well. Defaulter type personality can wait for many, many years with a person that's not for them, or is for them, but they're just holding back because they're waiting for that perfect moment. And it may not happen. There are people that are 40 that didn't get the ideal job. There are people that are 50 that didn't make millions on YouTube making stupid videos. There are people like that. I'm making good videos and I'm not making videos. But there are people like that that don't make, you know, I have this dream.
What
one time. Oh, I don't know. Is that what you do? Is that what you do?
Look at your numbers. Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah. I have 3,000 subscribers. Really?
No,
she knows what okay, we gotta talk.
We'll definitely chat after that.
I'm joking.
That.
I want to
We don't do it for money, though.
I don't do it for the money. And it doesn't, I don't think it will ever.
If it helps other people that are not in LA and can't be in this house right now, that's, we achieve the goal.
You're right.
You're right. I'm not saying, well, we gotta talk to you after. Maybe we should start doing that. So Shiri, okay.
I just want to say one thing, that some people tell me I can never get married until I have my job, a house. I bought a house, right, in LA. You know what it means. I bought a house, and what do I tell them? I say, well, where are you living now? I'm living with my roommate. Well, you are sharing the cost of your rent with another man. Couldn't you do that with your wife instead? Whoa. Right? Why?
Serious though. I mean, this is very simple math. This is how people should look at it. But when you break it down that way, people are like, oh, wait, I didn't think of it that way. Same way she managed to live and pay rent, hopefully. And you, then what's the question?
And second, you both have jobs? Second thing is, there is an idea that bracha, blessings, come to a place, a house that has kedusha, holiness. And we believe, as the Jewish people, when marriage is happening, That's when you have holiness, which is that people are absolutely committed to each other. They're not really in a place where they're using each other. There's respect also. And you bring bracha into the home also. So if you want more blessings and to build a home, look, we got this home after how many years of being married? Right? It took us quite a few years, but we didn't say, oh, let's get a house first and then get married. That's a lot of time that would have been wasted.
We would have been waiting for a long time.
And we wouldn't have had all our beautiful children and family. So I really believe that if you could do it the way you did it now, you could do it with another person that would help you, that could be your soulmate. And why do it with another roommate that's just annoying you and always leaving the dishes for you to clean when, you know, where you can actually live a normal life with your wife, and together you'll build a clean home. Yeah. You'll commit to each other. It makes more sense.
The dishes thing happens.
I mean, it does. That's part of communication. Happens. That's another thing. You know, like there's a lot to work on.
It's worth the money. Okay.
You need to decide who puts it in the dishwasher.
By the way, here's another one. Expensive wedding. Oh, I need this ring. I'm not going to get engaged because of the ring.
Oh, we've heard so many of that.
We're into each other. We're committed to each other.
I'm just waiting for the money for the ring.
The money for the ring. Dude, get a plastic ring. Okay.
Well, she won't agree with a plastic ring, but...
I'm joking. People are looking at me like I've gone mad.
But there are options out there, okay? You know, we've seen really awesome diamonds, not for millions, okay? So when people look at these things, it's all about perspectives, you know, and what you're looking for. If you want to make something happen, you make it happen, period. There's no other another way to look at it. Wait, did you...
Okay, that's it. Then the last one, number 5. Finished?
Okay, the cynic.
Which is what you were saying.
The cynic is, and unfortunately we do meet people that don't believe they're going to find the right person. Like me? No way. I'm never going to find what I'm looking for. Some people tell me that. And I'm like, why on earth are you saying that? You're literally creating this reality that you're not going to find the right person. Because they literally don't believe they're going to find someone as good as they want. And I'm like, if you believe in yourself, this is a lot of, self-esteem as well. If you believe in yourself, that you're worth who you are, and you self-reflect, and you really understand what you're about, why would you not attract that person? They could be as good as you.
So what does the cynic do?
So the cynic, here, let me see. I got all into my words, but I'll... make sure we covered everything. So what do? They would just go with someone who is not for them because they're like, I'm anyway not going to find the right person. I'm not going to find the person that takes most of my things. So at least one or two things line up, they jump on like the wrong relationships, basically. Just because they don't believe they're going to find the right person. Obviously, that's wrong. You don't just go and settle with just someone. Just because you're scared you're not going to get married, that's not the way we do it. We hope that you're going to get married, you're going to find the right person so you can spend the rest of your life together willingly and wanting to do it, not just to settle because you can. You don't think that you're going to find someone else. We call it like the cliffhangers. That's something that we definitely heard from men, women. All guys are crazy. All women are nuts, you know. The cool Jewish girls are taken. There's no one for me. You know, we're that too. And no good Jewish guys around. They're all just not nice. Don't treat me nice. So if that's the mindset.
That's what they say.
Yeah, unfortunately. Unfortunately. If that's the mindset. Yeah, a lot of guys say that about girls. They said, oh, the Jewish girls, too much work. the non-Jewish girls... they're fine with everything.
Yeah, because they mean that they're easier to get for the moment. You know, that's what
right,
they mean.
But it's not. So
you need it for free, why buy the cup?
Exactly.
So the idea here is really, you know, understanding when you start having that mindset of like, oh, I'm with someone, but it's not really, but then I'm starting having those fears. It's an internal problem that the person still needs to work on and first needs to work on.
By the way, that's what Shira just said before, cliffhangers. Yeah. That is the reason for cliffhangers. If you go out with someone that they give you the impression that they're into you and then they don't respond and then they do it again and they make you excited again.
They drag you along.
They drag you along. Yeah, I'm into you, then I'm not. Then they don't say I'm not, but they don't answer and then they do. and they keep you like excited every time. The reason for that is because they have a cynic mentality. They do not believe I'm going to actually find the right person. So at least I'll hold on to this person. I'm really not into them. I'm not into her. I'll hold on to her, but because at least I'll have something for now. I don't believe I'm going to get something later. At least I have this. And the cynic is able to create this cliff-hanging mentality, which is not good at all.
Yeah, I want to give one last example, which is also very extreme, but it gives you the idea of this, you know, the cynic. So we have Sarah and David. Sarah knows David for a long time. They've been dating. And she knows he has a really serious gambling issue that she can't live with. But she's been in past relationships, which were very abusive. And she got out of those. And she's dating him. But he has a good heart. That's what she says. He's a really good guy. Nice guy to her. But he has a huge problem that she knows she can't live with. So she could choose to marry this person, even though he has a huge problem that she knows it's going to be very hard to live with, let's say, and maintain a good relationship and trust and him, you know, whatever it is that it is. But because she's choosing to settle, because she doesn't know any better, she's like, oh, she was in previous really bad relationships, which doesn't indicate anything, but she was in non-healthy relationship. Finally, she found someone that cares about her a little bit and respects her. I'm going to go with him. So she would settle, not believing she'll get any better. So she'll just go with him.
Exactly.
What do you think of that? I mean, that's very extreme. But it's sad. These things do happen many times.
Our point is that with these mentalities, you can end up dating the wrong person for a long time and eventually choose to marry them.
Right.
Oh, I've waited for 5 years. I've never spoken about the drugs issue because I can't. I'm an avoider. And it's been 5 years, I've invested this much money, we even moved in together, we went this far, well, I'm going to break up now. Let us just get married. And she's telling you, come on, why are we not just getting married already? And you say, you know what, yeah, let's get married. It's sad, but you can end up marrying the wrong person because of these things. I can shape the person, I can change them, I'll change them. After 5 years, you say to yourself, I really can't. But I've invested this much. I like everything else about the person. I'm going
to
get
married. I have to marry them, yeah.
And that's a problem. So that's why these things are really important to know about and to avoid them. I don't know if I should, you should write them down or something.
We can send it after. But the last thing I would say that I want to hear from you, because I'm going to run to Avraham, but what makes people cynical about their dating? Why do they get to that? Besides their self-esteem, what do you think else is the problem? Yeah.
Pessimism.
Okay, so you said don't have hope, pessimism. Someone else said something.
Experiences.
Right. Like
this is another thing why we said from beginning, we're not necessarily dating. Some people say like you need to date to get the experience and eventually you'll figure out what you're looking for. Why? To get hurt, to mentally hurt yourself emotionally and then have to take a few years of healing. That's like a really difficult way of looking at life. I mean, it's supposed to be different. It's supposed to be that you do the growth within yourself, not having to get hurt, not having to hurt someone else. And then eventually, hopefully, throughout time, when you invest in yourself and in dating people, of course, you learn about what's important for you and everything. And you do have hope. You'll invest in the right people so you won't get to think that all guys are crazy and all women are nuts and all these things, you know? And so I think a lot to do with that is the experiences. So when you have clarity, when you work on yourself, yeah. What's going on? They're taking a picture of themselves, not of us.
Selfie.
So that's to summarize.
Send
any
it to
questions?
Noah. Send it to Noah.
Yes. Any questions on the five characters that we just said? We said let's start, what was the first one that I said? Okay, the shaper, the avoider, defaulter, cynic.
That's it.
Wait, so that was four. Did I miss anyone?
Five is the one that forgets the
lunch. No. One, I missed out one.
Oh, yeah, you read it very fast. Dating to date.
Okay. Missed one for now, but
speaking till now.
Yeah, we kind of included the fifth one, which is dating to date. which we weren't focusing on that anyway.
We've been speaking about that till now, which is dating for the wrong reasons.
But we're going to leave that one. So any questions on these four characters that, again, could happen to anyone, could be subconsciously, it's important to know about it. And when you get into situations, you need to think, am I being this? Is it because of that? Try to do an internal digging to figure out where you're at and what you need. All right?
Yes.
Just a quick question. If someone's basically on like a religious path or like someone's like, you know how you were saying like there's a shaper, but let's say someone who is like more religious than the other person, but the other person's kind of going on a growing line, and you're like, at what point do you say like, oh, I should wait it out to like maybe she will like get at a certain point, you know, or like it doesn't have to, like I know there's like some deal breakers, but like at a certain point they like, I know people grow, so like you might just say like you can wait it out, or at what point do you say this is where I'm shaping, like you're shaping them, like just
and I should not date anymore. Meaning, if I'm shaping, I should stop dating because
right.
I
right. But then sometimes you could be like they're in like a growing path. Is that
right?
I find that a lot of times.
So, do you
so
want to
look, if someone's going up on their own path and I'm not shaping them, great. That means that we're both going to the right direction. There's nothing wrong with that. But if I find myself
waiting
and
you're
trying
waiting
to
her.
Shape because they're not going in that direction, then it's a problem.
Or they're too slow to what you are at now and you want to move on already. I've seen that, you know, like in the past few months. Someone can date someone. They're, you know, keeping Shabbat and kosher. Let's go for the basics, okay? Nothing else, because these are lifestyle. Shabbat and kosher, she's not there yet, but she knows she wants. Wanting and being there is two separate lives and two separate things. In order for her to get there,
has to be her
she
choice.
Needs time, she needs, and sometimes the pressure felt, because he's there, he wants to be serious. She's not that she doesn't want, she wants, but she's not, she didn't grow up like that. What do you expect? She never went to classes. She went, I don't know, nothing, like no, not crazy Jewish education that she would be fully into this. Then it is a real, I would say, risk, because you're pushing someone to do something that they're not ready for. In a few months, if you paths cross and make sense, you already started keeping Shabbat, moved into the area, whatever it is that the person did, you see actions, you see that they live by it without you. They're not doing it with you only, and then when you're like, let's say not in town, what do they do? If it was for you, then it's not real. But if they're doing it otherwise, then you can look into it. Then it's serious. Yeah.
She's moving, you're moving also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah, you can both.
You can't be the shaper. They could be their own shaper.
Exactly. So if you're moving.
It's great. It's amazing.
That's right. Yes. Yes. 100%. That comes a lot. The religious levels do come. Sometimes the question is, you know, someone was religious, went down, and she was not religious and went up. So they met on the way. You know, like he's like warmed up to Judaism. He's not too negative to it. And she could be on fire, but she doesn't know yet. So right now, you could be the same level. But really, it's not going the same direction. She's passionate. She would want to grow. At one point, that person will block her because they were there. They didn't want it. They're going the wrong direction. So in 5 years, you'll see a complete disconnect. It's like she chooses this, and then it's not a joint life. It's like, oh, I respect that she does that, and, you know, it's not the same as living life as you do it together.
Anyway.
Alrighty. We're officially closing off for tonight.